All right. You guys don't know how significant that was, but that was. Guess what we're talking about today? The kingdom of God. But hearing, we're looking at the first disciples, but we're specifically talking about hearing God's voice, and hearing Him in a very practical and normal way, because there are two kinds of people who hear God's voice: weirdos and normal people. Huh? Which one do you want to be, right? And you know what? We were called to be a peculiar people. So there is a time and a place, kind of like what you were saying, where it was just peculiar that someone would pray with you and know things, right? So there's an element of, well, how did that happen and how does somebody know what the Lord is saying, right? But there's also a weirdness that comes, and I would like to use the next couple weeks-ish, you know, and we may not only stay on this topic, but to help refine what is hearing God's voice, why do we need to hear God's voice, how important it is, and then how do we kind of tailor it and refine it so that it's done in a pure and a holy and a loving way, and avoid the pitfalls of, say, hearing from the wrong voices, right? Because that happens. Amen. If you feel like you're exempt from this class, we could talk about another topic if you'd like, if you're experts in God's voice. Otherwise, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Which is unusual. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, people just give you their opinions, and we all have them, and they all stink, right? And
but that's how you know it's from God.
Right. I'm looking up a scripture really quickly because I may just go off book. Okay, yep, so if you have your Bible, open up 1 Corinthians 14. And I don't have a slide, so there's no use looking for that. I just wanted to let us all off the hook of and put us in a place of safety, okay? And this is going to seem so elementary and yet so so simple, but yet so big, so important. So if we're in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 29, it says, and this is specifically talking about like within a church setting, let two or three prophesy and let the others judge or evaluate what is being said. Here's how we're going to let everybody off the hook when it comes to hearing God's voice. You are on the, when you speak, you are on the platform for other people to listen and say, that's God or that's not God. Right? And you know, human behavior, and this is the thing that I've heard so many Christians say, but I don't want to listen to something unless I know it's God. I don't want to. But there's nowhere in Scripture that says, you know, don't listen to anything unless it's God, and you know it's God before that person speaks. Because how are you going to know if it's God before they open their mouth? You can only get the plate full of food and say either this is good or ugh. Right? And so the command that's in Scripture of 1 Corinthians 14 is let two or three people speak and prophesy from God's voice to you, and then you judge. And you are, I mean, this is the first and only time I see in Scripture where it's like, hey, you judge, and it's cool. You judge. Okay? There's safety in that, right? Sometimes we have the expression, eat the meat and spit out the bones, because maybe some percentage, 80% of what a person is sharing, they believe the Lord is saying, is right, and the other 20 is like, ugh, dead wrong, right? But that doesn't mean we throw out the whole chicken. We just eat the meat and throw out the bones, right? And it's okay. So simple, isn't it? But it gives us peace. It gives me peace knowing that if I'm standing here or someone else is standing here and they're sharing, I believe God is saying, like, just say it like that. I believe God, don't thus saith the Lord, he is saying to you. Just, hey, I believe God is saying, right? And if I'm wrong, if you're wrong, I feel so safe knowing that there's about how many people here going to say, nope, missed it. There's safety in that because we're family, we love each other. We're all filled with the same Holy Spirit, right? Some don't, you know, it's not like some of you have type A and some have type B Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit. And so for the body to say that was God or that was not God is safe. Okay? All right. That was just to put you at ease in case the idea of hearing God's voice makes you scared. Okay? Because it's okay if someone speaks and you're like, ew, that was so, I felt yucky inside and it didn't feel like God's voice. It's perfectly fine to say, I don't believe that was God. And then we'll deal with it. You know what I mean? Let's just not be scared, okay? You're big boys and big girls, and you can shut things down if you need to, right? Yes? Okay. So let's go back to where I planned on, and this was Acts 2. So we've been, for 2 weeks, we've been in Acts 2 looking at how the Holy Spirit moved and led 3,000 people to Christ, right? Up until now, we haven't even examined the event of what happened, what took place in that house up in the upper room. All we'd looked at so far has been 3,000 people came to Christ, and this was the result or the fruit of that. As they met and they experienced Christ and they were filled with his presence and with the Holy Spirit, this is the things that followed from that action. Well, today I'd like to back up a little higher into Acts 2 at the beginning of the chapter and look at the actual event that took place. And we'll break it down in a really simple and easy to understand way. But Acts 2, 4 through 11, there were about 120 people who were up in a house, okay? And upper room of this house, and they were together and they were praying. Now, some people say they were up in this room for like weeks and they were hot and sweaty and they were, and I don't think it was like that. I think it was more like a home group where they all just came together regularly and just hung out with each other because Jesus said, you know, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. So that's what they were doing. But I don't see them always like sitting for 49 days in this house, hot and sweaty, no AC, you know, ordering out pizza every night until, you know what I mean? They're just like getting off work and they're going back to the upper room to pray and say, Holy Spirit, is it today? Is it today? Come, Holy Spirit, right? And he was stirring up hunger in them because if the first time they asked and he just said, yep, Holy Spirit, right now, bam, then they wouldn't have understood what it was like to be hungry for something and they wouldn't have built the muscle to fight to have the next impartation of his presence on their life. Even though the Lord commanded that they wait for it, like, and it was his intention to give the Holy Spirit in this amazing way, they had to fight for it. And they had to know what it was like to be inconvenienced to have something they never had before. So that when it came, they could say, this is worth it. And they would value the Holy Spirit and not treat him like, oh, he's just another blessing the Lord gave me. Oh, he'll give me another one tomorrow. Right? We don't take the Holy Spirit for granted. Every time he moves in our life, it's so precious. And we need to recognize it and appreciate it and value it, right? So it says in Acts 2, verse 4, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, those are the upcoming events. And they went to men's group. Mondays at 6:30 p.m. So you got to hit the escape button first. Do you need me to do it? Guys, Lenny's still out and, you know, dealing with his grandmother passed away. And so, yeah, thank you.
It's there and watch.
And then
It doesn't
move.
It's frozen.
Frozen. Are we just going to have to?
How did you do that?
I don't know.
Magic fingers.
Yeah. And this is even the wrong presentation. That's like last week's. Yeah. So it's okay, guys. Do you forgive me for our mistakes? Okay. That's where I want to be. So everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And a lot of the churches will stop right there. And I almost want to just say, hey, yes, God's given people the ability to speak in other languages called tongues. And some of us are comfortable with it and some of us aren't. Let's not divide over that. Okay? What I really want to get to, please don't get hung up on the speaking in other tongues piece and miss the next thing that we want to really look at. Okay? If we want to talk about tongues, no problem doing that. Just don't get lost in that. It says, at this time, there were devout Jews from everywhere, from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. So they heard a hurricane going off inside a house, and they thought, we better go check that out. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken, by the believers, and they were completely amazed, and they said, how can this be? They exclaimed, these people are from Galilee, and we all hear these people speaking in our languages about the wonderful things God has done. Okay? Now, they weren't just randomly talking about random, you know, wonderful things God has done. They were talking about the Holy Spirit has come, and these are the wonderful things that just hit planet Earth on D-Day, Pentecost. Bam, you need to know about it. And God was so specific about speaking into those lost people's lives in a language that they could understand that he had 120 people speaking all kinds of different languages. But the point was they were all prophesying. They were all speaking God's heart to the lost. Are you cool with that? Let's just say the whole city spoke that one Galilean language and there was no need to speak in tongues, then the people of God would have still continued on with the rest of this, what you see here on the screen. They would have been speaking about the wonderful things God has done. Bam, the Holy Spirit is here. He's fulfilled so many scriptures. He has now come and he's landed in a way that is life-changing. And if you would just embrace him, you would experience a life free from yourself and you would understand the destiny of what it means to stop serving yourself and to serve another who is the name above every name. That's the kind of stuff they were saying. And the first caution that I would have is when we talk about hearing God's voice, you may get a reservation because someone may have told you, like John MacArthur or somebody, right? I usually don't name drop. But God doesn't speak today. He only spoke in the old days. Well, then the lost are in big trouble. Because the first example we have of the Holy Spirit landing on planet Earth and filling people's lives was to say, I want to reach the lost. They have to know the great lengths I was willing to go to reach them. Huge, right? We can't discount the importance. Hearing God's voice is not for us to say, God, should I get the chocolate or should I get the vanilla today? What is your will? Just tell me. Just tell me and I will get it. Do you want two scoops or three? I need your action, right? It's not like that. And we're you know, just tell me who should I marry and what job should I get? And he's like, my first example of speaking out from the Spirit was to go after the lost. Right? Let's look for the fruit and let's look for what the Holy Spirit is actually really here and present to do. It's not to just tell us and make us better, although that's a byproduct, but that's not the mission. The mission is make us better, but dang, reach out and go and reach those who are suffering and lost, right? So if you're like, well, what is this going to look like when we hear God's voice and when we start living in it? Well, you're going to reach lost people. That's it, right? You're going to get people saved. You're going to get people free. You're going to get people who are confused to understand. You're going to get people who are unloved and have no identity to understand they have an identity in Christ, right? There, you will begin to share in the language that some other person understands the wonderful things God has done. You know what I mean? That is cool, isn't it? Who would ever say, I don't want to hear God's voice when I put it in those terms? That's not my gift. Well, dang. Right? Right? Because, I mean, ultimately, we all know the Great Commission, right? I don't care where you go, you will hear the Great Commission taught that Jesus said, go preach the gospel. Right? That's a commandment. I mean, we all accept the commission. Unfortunately, like only 50% of the church accepts the empowering to do the commission, right? Jesus himself said, go into the world and preach the gospel. But wait, don't go until you have the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem until, yeah, till he comes, right? So even Jesus was telling us, you can't actually fulfill this commandment until you have me and your life directing you to do it. Right? This is cool. Okay. I'm liking it. I would listen to me if I were not me. Are you being sarcastic? You know I can't worship without crying. It's not like, that's not a sinus issue. It's just.
No, I don't mean right now. I mean during the sermon.
Right, I know. Thank you, God. I'm on allergy pills. So one of the things I believe that happens when we focus too much on the things that divide us in our doctrines, in our understanding of the grace of God and the gifts of God, is where we start to look at the Holy Spirit came and then there was tongues. And tongues is cool, and it's this amazing gift for us personally to use because it builds and it empowers us in it, right? It connects, it builds our faith, the word says. Builds us up on our most holy faith, it actually says, right? But then we stop right there, and we build doctrines around, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit if you don't speak in tongues, and I mean, like, all these weird stuff, and now people are separating, dividing, and creating more little churches and their own little ecosystems to support what they believe, and the point I think we're missing is that really last piece, and that was the Holy Spirit came, and he spoke through a bunch of people in so many diverse ways that no one could say they didn't understand the wonderful things God was doing right there. And that, I believe, is the infilling of the Spirit. And like I said last, was it last week or the week, the last previous time? But there, after Acts 2, there's an Acts 4 where the people experience another incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their life because it's not necessarily just a one-time, one-done dunk, okay? Why do we sing songs like, Lord, I need you, if we're like, well, I already got you. Lord, I got you. Oh, I got you. Sometimes we have to say, I need more of you, right? Okay. Now I'm going to blow my nose, Nana. Okay, yeah. Did someone whisper? Oh. Okay, I thought I heard my name. So, just don't neglect the equipment that the Lord is giving his people to speak God's heart and his words to other people, okay? Unfortunately, what we're starting to see are people separating evangelism from prophetic evangelism as if they're two separate things, and really they're not. You can't be like, oh, my style is prophetic evangelism, your style is track evangelism. No, it's all speaking of the great things God is doing and calling people and drawing people's hearts, right? I mean, what is it, John 16? Yeah, can we do John 16 really quick? There's no slide for that either. Jesus said it, so it's in the red, so you gotta listen. So John 16, verse 7 says, it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I do go away, he will come, because I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of its sin. Some Bibles say he will convict the world of its sin, meaning sinners are like waiting on the Holy Spirit to just grab their heart and say, hey, you're lost. I have home for you. Right? Like, conviction is a real thing. It's not just something you experience once you get saved and now you start hearing conviction. No, the conviction happened before you ever met Christ. He's the one letting you know, you are lost and you need a home. I have a home. When the Spirit comes, he will convict the world. And guess who's going to convict the world through? Not you saying, hey, dummy, you're a sinner. Right? It's by you sharing the love of God, just like Peter did. Peter stepped out in front of 3,000 or more people and just began to share what the Holy Spirit was doing, the love of God, and how Jesus died for them. And it says that they were pricked in the heart. That's Acts 2. And they said, what should we do? There was a conviction that came by the Holy Spirit on their life before they even knew they had received him. You know what I mean? It's better if I go away, because when he comes, he'll convince the world of its sin, of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the prince of this world, the devil, has already been judged. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Can you imagine Jesus like standing in front? I got like 15 things I want to tell you right now, but you can't hear it. So I'm going to go now, but I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you all the stuff that you wouldn't be able to hear if you just heard it straight from my mouth. Like, if Jesus was speaking, I think I would sit on my butt, I don't care what was on the ground, and listen, right? And he was like, you won't hear it. I'll say it, and it'll be like, pfft. But then I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit speaks, it won't be like this. It'll be, you'll get it. So it's better I go, Because I'm giving you something, a tool, a person, the love of God. I'm putting him in your life in a way that you'll hear me and hear me well, right? But I'm so scared of it. Why? I mean, like in terms of everything we just talked about, why would we be scared of that? Right? You know who scares us? Weirdos. Counterfeits. People who take all the stuff we just talked about and turn it on its head to get attention. The minute that happens and the minute the Holy Spirit's not the one in the leadership position, but the person is playing games, performing, trying to get attention, trying to get admiration, that's when everything in you is like, oh, that's gross. I don't like this and it's wrong and I don't ever want to do that. And that's completely right. All that pieces of you that's saying, I don't ever want to do that is right. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, I don't ever want to hear God's voice. No, just say, I don't ever want to be all about me. Right? Yeah, it is. It is. I hope this is setting some of us free. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And guess what? People are saying many things on the earth, aren't they? Like, turn on Fox, turn on CNN. Right? And then that's just one really crazy example. But there's people have so many perspectives and they're all calling them true. And you're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, tell me the truth now. Right? And sometimes he downloads it immediately and you just have the sense of discernment like Donna just mentioned where it's like you just know the truth. But sometimes he takes you on a journey of investigation and watching. And like Jesus even talked about looking for fruit and you start looking through scripture and you start looking for outcomes over the long term. And it's like, okay, I think I see the truth. Like the Spirit of the Lord opened my eyes to see what I was not picking up before. Okay? And that's not a political message. I'm not telling you anything about that. The Holy Spirit will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. That's a promise, things to come. He will tell you about the future. Promise. So the song we sang, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, promised he would tell us the future. Not every single thing. We have scriptural evidence of the disciples saying, well, when will this happen? And he said, none of your business. It's not for you to know. It's not for me to know. It's for my Father only, right? So there are things that he's going to say, hey, I'm not telling you. But then there's other things he's going to tell you because it's a next step direction for your life and he cares about you. And the best analogy I can come up with is if one of my kids asked me, Dad, what are we going to, you know, do next week when we go on, you know, and there's like my mind is going over so many adult things that it's going to take to get there. I'm not going to share all those things with my kids because they wouldn't even, I mean, just like, right? I'll just tell them, we're going to go to Walmart and we'll get a little prize. Yay, right? Right? But the there's so many details the kids don't need to know. And there's things that it's important that the kids know. And that's where I see the Holy Spirit speaking about the future to us. He tells us things right when we need to know them in a way that is, it's life-changing. Yep. He answered some very specific questions I asked the Lord. He did. He gave me direction. So thank you, guys. All right. If you think any of this was planned, it wasn't. I didn't even know they were coming today. I swear. All right. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. And so this is another thing. Like, why wouldn't you want to hear the Holy Spirit when all the Holy Spirit wants to do is bring God glory? Who would ever want to deny God glory? Raise your hand if you want to deny God glory, right? No takers? Okay. Well, then we have to be open to this idea that all he wants to do is bring him glory. So let's open our ears, let's open our hearts, and let's value when he wants to speak. Okay, that means sometimes turning Netflix off when he wants to speak, when he wants to bring God glory by speaking to us. Yeah? I'll pray for you. All that the Father... I didn't say that God doesn't speak through Netflix. All I'm saying is there are so many distractions in life, and sometimes we don't value God's voice because we're in a pattern of distraction. And that was my point. You know, for some of us it's a phone, for some of us it's an activity or media or whatever. So the point is not Netflix. What's that? I have even had the Lord tell me during a time where I was with him and alone, I had my word open, I was praying, and I had worship music in the background. He said, turn off the worship music. It's distracting you. So even good stuff, I mean, just listen like he wants to speak, right? All that the Father has is mine, Jesus said, and this is what I mean when I say that the Spirit will receive... will reveal to you whatever he receives from me. Jesus was basically saying, God has given me everything, and I'm giving everything to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit is going to give you all of that. So understand the process and the flow of information is to give you everything that the Father has. And that's going to take a long time because we're a slow data pipe, right? The transfer of information, we're like a slow website. Okay. Are we good with this so far? Okay. So when that moment happened, then Acts 2:14-18 happens, and I'm hoping we could advance that slide. Does it work? It should be like one slide forward. Please. Is it good? Are you good, Dave? I appreciate it. Everybody pray for Lenny. Pray for more technical people. I'm just going to read it. Are you cool with that? All right. So Peter stepped forward with the 11 other disciples and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. That was the accusation, that if these people were moving in the Spirit, there's something obviously wrong with them. Convenient. Let's pick on alcohol. Right? But you know what? That same voice of the accuser is out there, isn't he? And if it's not like they're drunk, they're weird, they're in the flesh, they are fill in the blank, right? There's something like, just trust me. Trust me. If you say, sign me up, Jesus, I want to hear your voice, you just put yourself on the wall for the enemy to pick on you. Okay? And I don't tell you that to discourage you. I tell you that to just so you don't get frustrated and upset the minute you try to dive in deeper into what God is doing and then you meet opposition and you're like, well, I guess that wasn't God. No, the opposition is oftentimes a sign that it is God. Now, sometimes we do boneheaded things and we deserve to be called out and we need to apologize. But man, if you did nothing but say, I want to go deeper in him and something says, no. Just recognize that voice, okay? And you might be publicly disgraced, like someone in this case said, you know what, those people are all drunk. And you're like, I never. Well, how dare they, right? Let me just defend myself. Let me really explain to you, right? Peter didn't go out into the crowd and say, let me explain to you, let me show you, let me tell you what I really meant. No, it says, hey, these people aren't drunk. Moving on, what you see is what was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And this is so significant. He was saying this day, this outpouring is a fulfillment of scripture. I'm not going to give your accusation attention. It's not true. Moving on. Here we go, right? And it's an outpouring that is, now watch this, this is significant. It's for old people and young people alike. It's for men, it's for women alike. I think I ran out of other opportunity, like what else you could be, right? I mean, that's pretty well all-inclusive. So there's nowhere in your life that you could say, well, that's not my gift. That's not really my thing. No, like, cars run on gas. Cars don't say that's not my thing. Cars run on gas. We run on the words of the Holy Spirit. We live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Well, you could say, well, I've lived for lots of years and I've never heard God's voice. Well, you know what? It's okay. There are people who are living malnourished and they're still alive. Doesn't mean they have to love it. Right? Like to say, but there's another way. There's a voice that's for you from God's heart, and he just wants to bring God glory. He just wants to give you whatever the Father wants to give you. Okay. You know what I mean? And there's no, well, you know, I need to be a male or I need to be older and wiser. There's none of that. You can be anything, right? And the Lord can still pour out his Spirit on you and speak to your heart. And then the result of that outpouring was they would prophesy, right? And that's why it's a little sad to me that Joel said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit and people will prophesy. And we, the church, have divided on tongues. You know why that division took place on the topic of tongues? So that we would lose our eyes focus on the fact that we were supposed to be prophesying as a result of the filling of the Spirit. And enough people get mad and start their own denomination. Now these people aren't talking to these people. And we all miss the point. So then we see in Acts 2, verse 37, it says that Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him, brothers, what should we do? There was, you know what I love about this? Sometimes when we're speaking to people, we offer advice way too quick, and they didn't even ask for it. You know what I mean? And Peter, being filled with the Spirit, he spoke truth, but he didn't tell them what to do until they said, well, what should we do? Well, that's a novel concept. Wait till you're asked. Let that sink in. That deserved like five amens. Right? And some of us, we think in order to move in the Spirit, to hear his voice, we need to have the beginning, the middle, and the end all figured out. We need it to be wrapped up in a perfect little bow. It needs to be beautiful and right. And you know what? I'm not even sure Peter knew while he was speaking and while their hearts were being pierced. I'm not even sure he understood how he was going to land that plane. He was just sharing what the Lord put in his heart right now. He took a step. He said it. And the people responded, what should we do? And he probably said, should they do? Okay, you should, right? You know what I mean? Like, the why I'm saying this, and I know it's making us laugh, but the why I'm saying, I'm trying to let us off the hook that some we know in part, we see in part, the scripture says. We don't always know how to land that plane, but we know the Lord is speaking, and so we prophesy according to our, who knows, scripture. Not a trick question. Faith. Not according to how well you can hear. Not according to the volume of information that he has currently shared with you. You prophesy by your faith. So he says this little bit. You say it. You speak it. You stand there and look stupid until he gives you something else or until someone says, tell me more. Okay, I need more. Okay. And let me give you a little bit more, right? And you just do it. And I'm sorry if this seems whimsical and silly, but this is like step-by-step living by faith. You know what I mean? This is so important, and I'm letting you off the hook to begin to explore the tools that God has given you. And I don't want you to worry about whether or not you think you're a prophet or not a prophet. The fact is, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and old and young, and men and women. They will all prophesy. They will have visions. They will see dreams. They will, they'll. It's not limited to any one specific thing. God can speak to you through what you see, what you hear, what you read in the scriptures, right? it's very often that you're studying your scriptures for yourself, and the thing that you hear is actually not only for you, but it's for the body, because we are just one brick in the temple of God being built up. And so you being the brick in the house of God will be, you know, so that his presence can dwell. This is in Hebrews. You hear his voice, and it is for you, but he wouldn't tell it to you just for you. That's just a little too small in God's big thinking. It's for others. It's for the broader body as well. So if you are hearing God for yourself, more than likely it's meant to be shared. How novel is that? You know what's also cool about that? You're not on the hook to now have two lives. I have two classes going on. One class is for me, developing me, and the other class is for me to go develop and minister to other people. What if God was like, let me take some load off your plate, and let me just say that as I develop you, I will also minister to others. One class, show up or don't, pass or fail. It's liberating, huh? Isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't have a lot of time in my life. How about you? The other thing that I love is that as Peter was as preaching, and I see he was sharing, and the people were prophesying, all this stuff was coming. Notice that sometimes Peter was actually sharing, like Joel, an example, and then other times he was just speaking from the heart. And that is, hearing God's voice is seated in Scripture, so we have to have the Scripture, but it is in agreement with Scripture. So if you ever have a prophetic feeling, you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and if it doesn't agree with this, throw your that voice out, okay? The Holy Spirit is not speaking to you in a schizophrenic way that is in contradiction from what he has written in Scripture. So this is your safety, and this is your guide, and this is like, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I just received a word, so I need to check. Okay, so it does agree. Okay, so then I'll eat that. But if it doesn't agree, don't eat it. You know what I mean? Why did you bring that up, Daryl? Because it's really important that you'll see that sometimes there are counterfeits, because the devil, honestly, the enemy, he doesn't want you to hear God's voice in a pure and simple way. He wants to make it complex, scary. He wants to put a lot of rules around it, a lot of religion around it, so that you don't do it well. You're so busy thinking about your feet, you can't dance, right? You know what I mean? And I love it. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, it's because the devil was saying, hey, dummy, I want you to eat rocks. Take this rock, something that God never intended for you to have, and make it bread. Make it good for you. And that's just like, that's the spirit of the enemy that we have, is like, God has a pure word, and it lines up with this, and it's what we were made for. It's as easy as living, and it's as easy as breathing. And the devil wants to complicate things. And, you know, first you got to take this rock, and then you got to turn it into something. And you got to, you know, it's like, no, you don't. You know what I'm saying? God speaks to our heart. We hear him. We obey. We take a small step. Limited understanding. Limited view. It's okay. We're humans. We get it wrong all the time, right? You take these small steps. You never say, the Lord is saying. Just say, hey, I believe he's saying. And now you've let yourself off the hook to be wrong. And who needs that more than anybody? The speaker. The safety to pull the ejection and say, I was wrong. You lose a ton of credibility when you say, oh no, that was God, and then you're wrong. Yeah. Like the dude who told me I was going to have a daughter. I got three sons.
It's not too late.
That's right. Wow, so prophecy has been fulfilled. I started young. I had her when I was one. I know, huh? And then here, well, I just got so much. I think I'm gonna end it here. There is completeness as a disciple in the Holy Spirit, okay? There's completeness when you are a disciple. When you're following Jesus, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Like, when we keep it really simple and we lock our eyes and our faith on him, Jesus, I trust you're not going to let me follow after the wrong voice. I hear about 1,000 voices, but I'm only going to hear and follow yours. Simple. Keep it that way. It's a warped and a religious system, a can I say fatherless system that wants to help us to feel ill-equipped, underprepared to hear his voice. And maybe when we do hear it, we talk ourselves out of it. We don't cherish it. We disregard it. We talk it down. We don't value his voice. And therefore, what is the incentive for the Father to even continue speaking? And I'm not saying that's scriptural. I'm just saying, if I knew my son just didn't care when I spoke to him, I would really limit the words I said to him. I don't want to fill his life with something he doesn't want. I love him too much. You know what I mean? Just think about that. Have you ever had the young teenager who just didn't want to hear what you had to say? The know-it-all, huh? You know what maybe you're like, well, if you don't have kids, you can picture it, or maybe your family's had that kid, but you know you don't want to keep opening up that can of worms and saying things just to get more eye rolls, more resistance, more disobedience, more sarcasm, right? Do we do this to the Father? Or do we value it and celebrate the voice of the Lord? Even if it's simple, do we celebrate it? Small steps lead to big things. Faithful in the little, faithful in the much. What were you going to say? That's right. Why is it imperative? One last thing, and I probably would, I wasn't going to say this, but I will. Let's just say hypothetically, if you come to church and you expect to hear from the man of God, and then someone discredits that man of God, what happens to your ability to learn? What if you can't hear God for yourself? Then you're left wondering, well, who do I believe in? How do I believe in? What do I do? And oh my gosh, I'm lost at sea. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be so equipped that if I go down or any one of us goes down, you're not lost at sea. Please don't read into that. Just let it be what it is. I'm sorry if it wasn't meant to be offensive, okay? Huh? And he does every week. Yes. No, I make the donkey look good. I won't tell you what part of the body of Christ I am. Mm-hmm. to be filled. You're right. Amen. Very cool. You should teach on that.
Maybe.
Okay. We don't tell people. No. Just don't search for that term in your concordance. So we have a prayer time slide, so we might as well use it. I can't read it. It says, here we go. So here's a prayer. Ready? I repent for losing value in fellowship with the body of Christ. That's the environment for living out the new life. And I didn't preach on this. So, you know, if you're going to go repent, that's obviously the Holy Spirit. But the point is that sometimes we don't value the fellowship with the body of Christ. That's not the same thing as to say going to church. Those are two different things entirely. Going to church is being incognito. And fellowshipping with the body is being vulnerable to hearing and to being heard. It's sharing a voice, and it's receiving a voice of the Holy Spirit, which is communion, right? And so some of us need to repent for when we come to church not valuing the voice of God from others and the voice of God within us to do what Chris was just saying. Number two, open my ears, Holy Spirit, to hear you speak, train, disciple me. I have grown too dependent on others to hear for me. And then number three, lead me in joining with others to make a serious impact. Because ultimately, hearing God's voice again is for the impact. It's to make the Jesus-sized crater. It's not to just make our lives better. Although that's a byproduct. Can we do the breakout in groups? Prayer time? I think it's important because some of us have gotten too comfortable not praying in teams, and I don't want to let you get lazy. I love you too much. So can we just play like a song, anything with a check mark in that worship folder is cool. And then look for 2, 3, 4 people. Break out of that group. Really don't spend too much time talking. More time praying. Go before the throne where 2 or 3 are gathered. He is there in the midst. Bam, miracles happen. Amen. Let's break.
There must be more.